Hello and welcome back to Whirlwind Radio. This is Marcelo Sugdeo. An Uber self-driving car hits and kills a woman in Arizona. Was it avoidable? There are many calls to say goodbye to Facebook. And streaming is taking over the music industry. So what's next? By now, I'm sure you've heard the news, the sad news about the recent crash of an Uber self-driving car that killed a pedestrian. Last Sunday, in the city of Tempe, Arizona, a city of over 150,000 people, Elaine Hertzberg, who was 49 years old, attempted to cross a busy road. She was pushing a bicycle across the road about 100 meters from the closest pedestrian crossway when she was hit by a car, which was traveling at 38 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone. Tempe police released video of the fatal crash. The video was less than 30 seconds long, but it included views from both the interior and the exterior of the car. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, but it's quite an emotional and heart-wrenching video to watch. It began with an exterior shot and showed that what appeared to be a dark roadway. Suddenly, the victim was seen in the car's headlights, wheeling her red bike across the street. At that point, the video cut off and then switched to the interior view, which showed Uber's employee, Rafael Vasquez, in the driver's seat. The car was in the self-driving mode, and in the lead-up to the crash, it appeared that Vasquez was looking away from the road for several seconds. Then the video showed Vasquez reacting to the crash. Vasquez later said that he did not have the time to react to avoid hitting the victim. The police chief of Tempe said the crash may have been unavoidable. She said, "It's very clear it would have been difficult to avoid the collision in any type of mode, autonomous or human driven, based on how she came up from the shadows right into the roadway." She also said that it was difficult to avoid whether it's a human driving or a robot. But some experts don't take this view. They are making the case that laser and radar sensors in the car should have spotted the victim and her bicycle in time to brake. In looking at the victim, you can tell that she made her way over one lane and onto the other lane on the two-lane road when she was hit. Plus, it was an open road, so you can see both sides and both lanes. So the sensors should have detected and classified the object that it was seeing as human, but that was not the case. This shows that there are some serious issues that need to be addressed with autonomous systems, especially for self-driving cars. One analyst who follows autonomous vehicles said laser and radar systems can see in the dark much better than humans or cameras, and that the victim was well within the range. He went on to say that it absolutely should have been able to pick her up. "From what I see," he said, "in the video, it sure looks like the car is at fault and not the pedestrian." So it comes back to that nagging question that many have been asking since autonomous cars started. Who is responsible? Who is held responsible in the event of an accident? I talked about this in one of our podcasts. The podcast is entitled, "Who is Writing the News You're Reading, Human or AI?" In that episode, I touched on the moral questions regarding self-driving cars and who is to be held responsible. Is it the driver? Is it the system? Or is it the company? You can check that out on our website. I'll place a link in the description below. Now, getting back to the story, the police chief said that it appeared that Uber may not be at fault in the accident, though other charges could result. She said, "I won't rule out the potential to file charges against the backup driver in the Uber vehicle," adding that it would be new ground should the robotic car found to be at fault. one of the things about autonomous cars is when say a human is driving and it looks like there is danger of hitting an object or someone, our natural tendency is to hit the brake. Self-driving cars, on the other hand, do not hit the brakes prior to a crash in all recorded cases of crashes so far. And the sound that you're hearing did not occur on that fateful night. And the reason for this is self-driving cars make decisions based on what their sensors can detect. If the sensors don't detect anything, the vehicle won't react at all. And that's scary. And not only scary, but can be fatal, as we have seen in this recent case. One example of a car not applying the brake that you may remember was in that fatal accident in May 2016, when a Tesla sedan S, using its driver assist autopilot technology, failed to brake to avoid hitting a tractor trailer that was making a left turn across its lane, which sadly resulted in killing the Tesla's driver. Sensors are very important in autonomous systems. It seems like it will take a lot more work to get to this level that is safe enough for us to trust self-driving cars. Hertzberg's death is the first reported incident of a pedestrian killed by a self-driving car. And this fatal accident raises a lot of questions about whether self-driving cars are ready to operate on our public roads. As of now, I say that it is not ready, and we have a long way to go before getting to the level of comfort in allowing and trusting self-driving cars on our roads. Let's be honest. How often do you post on Facebook? A lot of people are calling for others to quit Facebook. Even the hashtag #DeleteFacebook is trending. Many are wondering if it's time to say goodbye to Facebook. At its best, Facebook is a nice way to stay in touch with friends around the world. In business, we use it to learn what's important to the people that we serve and to share the work that we're doing. But there's a concern to all of this. The very data that make it work so well have power. Power that can be used for good or for evil. And because of this, many are now waking up to the concerns over privacy and how our personal information is being shared. As lawmakers are investigating the company, many users are deleting their Facebook accounts. Recently, the former Facebook executive, Brian Acton, even jumped in by tweeting, "It's time." And then he had #DeleteFacebook. Acton also co-founded WhatsApp. The latest blowback against Facebook is part of the ongoing story regarding Facebook's role in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. A whistleblower who used to work with for a company named Cambridge Analytica revealed in reports published recently that a company harvested the data of over 50 million Facebook users and used that data to help the Trump campaign target advertisements on Facebook. Facebook was aware of this many years ago, of the user data that the company had, and asked the company to delete it. But what happened? Facebook never followed up or confirmed the deletion of that data. And the company, Cambridge Analytica, continued to operate on that with Facebook until recently. Celebrities are even getting on this as well. Jim Carrey tweeted that a drawing of that he made of Zuckerberg that featured a quote from much younger Zuckerberg bragging about Facebook. And he added to that image, #RegulateFacebook. Zuckerberg as well has made public statements on Wednesday or recently about this. But with Acton's tweet about delete Facebook, it may be a little too late for Facebook, as scrutiny is coming from almost every corner or every angle, even from those most loyal to Facebook. The misuse of data is not a new topic. It's been brewing for a little while now, but it looks like with this recent development about Facebook's role in the last US presidential election, that many are finally seeing the need to quit Facebook. For me, I use Facebook for my work, but if you're giving a lot of information over to Facebook, I would suggest that you take a good look at what you're disclosing. Over the years, we have seen the evolution of the way music is consumed, from cassettes to CDs, then on to digital downloads. For a little while now, streaming is the main way of getting our music. Streaming music is taking over the music industry, and that can be seen with digital download sales, which have fallen so much in the past few years that now they're smaller than the sales of CDs and vinyl and other physical media. A recent report shows that digital downloads fell to $1.3 billion last year, dollars last year, whereas physical media, while also falling, only declined to $1.5 billion. Of course, both pale in comparison to the revenue brought in from streaming, which has taken over the music industry in recent years. In 2016, the music industry made more than half of its revenue from streaming for the first time, and that growth continued on into 2017. Last year, nearly two-thirds of all revenue came from streaming, an increase of 43%. So we can see how that is possible. Today, we listen to our music subscription services like Spotify and Apple Music. But it looks like another change is coming. There's a fast-growing new category of streaming services that could soon be a very big deal for the industry. It's called limited-tiered paid subscriptions. And this is basically subscription streaming services with some sort of major constraint. For example, Amazon has the $4 per month unlimited music subscription that only works on a single Echo. Pandora's paid music service, that's the Pandora Plus, also falls into this category. But despite the lack of attention on this category at this time, it represented 14% of the subscription market in 2017, and that's up to about over 10% in 2016. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but it represents a 125% year-over-year growth in terms of revenue, and that's bigger than vinyl. Most of this comes from music stream using Alexa-enabled devices. Music subscription revenue is growing, and it's up more than half of last year's, and also ad-supported streaming revenue was up as well. Through their continued growth, this has led to an overall revenue growth for the music industry for the second year in a row. Now, that is taking us back to the 2008 levels, which was a bright spot for the industry, especially since subscription services now show no sign of slowing down. So, what's next? After specific subscriptions like Spotify or Apple Music, would we see music being added to other services? I know, for example, that Bell has its Stingray Music service. And once you're a subscriber with Bell and you have the Bell TV package, you can stream music on your TV as well onto your phone through the Stingray app. And the cool thing about this is that you don't have to listen to any ads because it's ad-free. And this is how I stream my music at home and on the go with my phone. I'm sure other companies are offering similar services, and I would like to see more of this in the future. All paid through maybe an entertainment package are offering that is part of that package for free because you've taken that specific service from a company. As we wrap up the show here today, I'd just like to remind you to check out itincanadaonline.ca for news stories and insights from different experts within the industry as we share different stories from security to AI to CIOs and everything in between, giving you a complete view of IT here in Canada. From the team here at Whirlwind, this is Marcelo Sugdeo saying stay safe in the technology world.